Well, Annie Hurley is going to come out and dance a slow hornpipe for us. It's great to have Annie here this week, making her first appearance here on Harris Street.
Two reels for you now. The first one is called The Man of the House, very feminist movement oriented tune, and Marie will introduce the second tune to you. It's called Sleeping on the Sofa.
Yeah. Now we're going to follow the next reel will be one that was actually written by an accordion player from County Galway named Martin Mulhare. He actually lives near us at home in New York. He lives in Flushing, and the name of this tune goes by is John Bowes.
Thank you. back about 15 years ago, came across a most unusual song. It was a recently written song, but written about events in the latter half of the last century, from shortly after the time of the potato famine in Ireland up until almost the turn of the century. And it was based on a bunch of old letters that had survived in the family of a man called Peter Jones, who made them into this song. There were letters written by his great-great-grandfather to the son who emigrated. And they span a number of years and kind of chronicle the family over that period. And it's kind of a very interesting historical document. You get a real sense of the loss and the separation these people felt. We take so much for granted now, where we can jump on a plane and be over in Ireland in 5 or 6 hours, or pick up the phone or just send an email. But it could take 3 weeks or more to cross the Atlantic in the old sailing ships. And just even to get a letter back and forth could take months. So they really did feel sort of cut off, and not too many of them ever made it back again. I think it was about 1 in 10 ever actually went back to Ireland again once they emigrated. And I'm sure that a lot of you who have Irish ancestors can very likely trace it back to those years, because that was the massive wave of emigration then. But the family lived in a small village in County Mayo in the west of Ireland, a place called Kilkelly. Kilkelly, Ireland, 1860, my dear and loving son John. Your good friend, schoolmaster Pat McNamara, so good as to write these words down. Your brothers have all gone to find work in England. The house is so empty and sad. The crop of potatoes is sorely infected. A third to half of them bad. And your sister Bridget and Patrick O'Donnell are going to be married in says not to work on the railroad, be sure to come on home soon. Kilkelly, Ireland, 1870, my dear and loving son John. Hello to your missus and to your 4 children. Healthy and strong. Micah's got in a wee bit of trouble. I suppose that he never will learn. Because of the dampness, there's no turf to speak of, and now we have nothing to burn. And Bridget is happy. Name the child for her, although she's got 6 of her own. You say you found work, but you don't say what kind or when you will be coming home. Michael and John, my son, I'm sorry to give you the very sad news that your dear old mother has gone. We buried her down at the church in Kilkelly. Your brothers and Bridget were there. Have to worry, she died very quickly. Remember her in your prayers. And it's so good to hear that Michael's returning. with money he's sure to buy land. For the crop has been poor and the people are selling at any price that they can. Ireland, 1890, my dear and loving son John. I suppose that I must be close on 80. It's 30 years since you've gone. Because of all of the money you sent me, I'm still living out of my own. Michael has built himself a fine house, and Bridget's daughters are grown. And thank you for sending your family picture, their lovely young women and men. You say that you might even come for a visit. What a joy to see you. Ireland, 1892, my dear brother John. I'm sorry I didn't write sooner to tell you that father passed on. He was living with Bridget, she says he was cheerful and healthy right down to the end. Seen him playing with the grandchildren of Pat McNamara, your friend. And we buried him alongside of mother down at the Kilkelly churchyard. He was a strong and a feisty old man, considering his life was so hard. And it's funny the way he kept talking about you. He called for you at the end. Oh, why don't you think about coming to visit? We'd all love to see you again.
I'd like to sing a song from the American Civil War, and this is an Irish song from the war. There seem to have been hundreds of songs written about the Irish involvement in the American Civil War, and the reason being that it was a watershed for Irish immigrants when they came in the 50s, around the same time as Mr. Hunt, who was the man in Kilkelly, came. They faced signs, "No Irish Need Apply," and a lot of discrimination because they were coming in such huge numbers. They were anti-establishment and they were Catholics, and their loyalty to the new republic was in question. They were seen as possibly owing their allegiance to a foreign prince, the Pope of Rome, and basically had a hard time of it just about everywhere they settled. But then came the Civil War and the Irish enlisting in huge numbers. Some fought in the Confederacy. They say that about 20% of the Navy in the Confederacy was Irish, but the overwhelming majority enlisted in the Union Army and proved that they were Americans and loyal to the Union, and silenced a lot of the anti-Irish voices, at least for a while. And the songs take pride in the achievements of the Irish, and there are an awful lot of them. This is a song that we've never actually done before. and it is the maiden voyage, no better place, says you, than Augusta, to run into disaster and be forgiven by your friends, hopefully. And it's a song that was written by a music hall writer called Joe English in New York. And for those of you who are from south of the Mason-Dixon line and have acute sensibilities, I apologize in advance, because this song would definitely fall into the partisan category. And it leaves you no doubt, whatever, who the enemy is. And it's called The Irish Volunteer. And we are now going into it with enormous optimism. My name is Tim MacDonald, I'm a native of the Isle. I was born and raised in Aaron's Bogs and left when but a child. Me granddad fought in 98 for liberty so dear, and he fell upon a vinegar hill like an Irish volunteer. So raise the harp of Aaron, boys, the flag we all revere. We'll rise and fall beneath its fold like Irish volunteers. Then raise the harp of Aaron, boys, the flag we all revere. We'll rise and fall beneath its folds like Irish volunteers. When I was driven from my home by the oppressor's hand, I cut me sticks and greased me brogues and set out for this land. And I found a home and many friends and some that I hold dear. Oh, be jabbers, I'd stick to them like bricks, an Irish volunteer. So raise your glasses up, me boys, and drink a hearty cheer to the land of our adoption and the Irish volunteers. Then fill your glasses up, me boys, and drink a hearty cheer to the land of our adoption and the Irish volunteers. Now when the traitors in the south commenced their warlike raid, I quickly then lay down me hat, to the divil went me spade. To our recruiting office that I went, that happened to be near, and I joined the good old 69th as an Irish volunteer. Then fill the ranks and march away, no traitors will we fear. We'll drive them all to blazes, says the Irish volunteer. Then fill the ranks and march away, no traitors do we fear. We'll drive them all to blazes, says the Irish volunteer. Wales came over here and made a hubbaboo. Oh, everyone turned out, you know, in gold and tinsel too. But the fighting 69th, they didn't like them lords nor peers. They didn't give a damn for kings, those Irish volunteers. We love the land of liberty, its laws we all hold dear. But the divil take nobility, says the Irish volunteers. We love the land of liberty, its laws we do hold dear. But the divil take nobility, says the Irish volunteers. Now if the traitors in the south should ever cross our roads, we drive them to the divil, as St. Patrick did the toads. And we will give them all short nooses that come just below the ears, made strong and good from Irish hemp by Irish volunteers. Then here's to brave McClellan, whom the army now reveres. He lead us on to victory, the Irish volunteers. Then here's to bold McClellan, whom the army now reveres. He lead us on to victory, the Irish volunteers. Now fill your glasses up, me boys, and a toast now drink to me. May Aaron's harp and the starry flag united ever be. May rebels quake and traitors shake and tremble in their fears when next they meet the Yankee boys and the Irish volunteers. God bless the name of Washington, the name this land reveres. Success to Maher Nugent and the Irish volunteers. God bless the name of Washington, the name this land reveres. Success to Maher Nugent and the Irish volunteers.
set of tunes. I'm going to start off with a hornpipe, which was composed by a great fiddler many years ago named Sean Ryan, and then Martin's going to follow that up with a reel.
Well, the name of the reel is The Wrong Trousers, and I won't get into it. Actually, Zan was telling me a few minutes ago that it was... the tune was composed by a great box player called Luke Daniels, but he named it after a cartoon about these wrong trousers that were robotically equipped, and when someone put them on, someone could move them all over the place with a remote control. So that's what the name of the tune comes from. Fairly innocent.
Wallace and Gromit. You've seen Wallace and Gromit.
Great. And the tune after that is called Within a Mile of Dublin, which Marie and me learned out of O'Neill's Book of Music. And after that, we're going to play a tune called The Black-Haired Lass, which is associated with Donegal, Johnny Doherty, a great fiddle player. And then we're going to finish off on a tune that Marie will tell you about.
We're going to finish up then with one called Dowd's Number 9. It's one that we learned from our father, who's from County Longford, and a very well-known tune. Thank you.
Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming this evening. I have one more announcement to make. The store is open in the lobby. Jerry Holland's recordings will be in later in the week because he has none left. And I would like to thank you for coming this evening and look forward to seeing you on Thursday evening. Thanks very much. Safe home.